Hi, this is Bill Arnold. Missed a show or need me talking to help you sleep tonight? I have several solutions to that situation. Here are the podcasts from the show. You are the best for listening and supporting Faith Radio. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. Thank you for tuning in today. I had so much fun with Dr. Mark Muska. If you missed any of that hour, you're going to want to get your Bible out and a notebook and take some notes, because there were some awfully good answers to some difficult passages in Scripture, and I think you're going to want to review it. So what you do is go to myfaithradio.com and go to the show page, Afternoons with Bill, and you can go find it right there. It'll be there after the show. Now, Jim, who's a friend of Faith Radio, wants to bless someone with two tickets to tomorrow night's performance, the 70th anniversary event. That's tomorrow night at Knight Performance Hall on the campus of the University of Northwestern in St. Paul. And so for the next 20 minutes, I'm going to take some emails, bill@myfaithradio.com, and just put tickets in the subject line, and then I'm going to take and do a drawing. So between now and about 25 after, I will come up with a winner, and you will get a couple tickets to go see the 70th anniversary of show tomorrow night right here at Knight Performance Hall. So that's all compliments of Jim, friend of Faith Radio. So if you want to get in that drawing and you've got time and you think it would be awfully fun to go hear some comedy. It starts at 7 o'clock. We would love for you to do that. Just so make sure you put your name, and we will take care of it at the after the drawing. So Dr. Greg Borgon has stepped into my studio. We're going to talk about methods for studying the Bible. So that's all ahead. We're going to take a 60-second break and be right back.
Have you ever wished you could listen to your favorite radio program when you wanted to? That way, you'd never miss a program you really wanted to hear, simply because your program came on when you had an appointment, you were at work, or something urgent came up. And for those really busy days, you could listen early in the morning or late at night when things were calmer, and you could take the time to reflect and meditate on what you heard. Well, you can listen to your favorite programs whenever you want. Download the Faith Radio app by searching Faith Radio in the Apple Store or Google Play Store to gain instant access to Faith Radio programs and previous shows. It really is that simple. Search and subscribe to your favorite program and listen anytime. Download the Faith Radio app today and don't miss a thing. Once again, go to iTunes or Google Play on your mobile device and search for Faith Radio to download the free Faith Radio app and start listening today.
Welcome back to the show. It's 7 minutes after the hour. Dr. Greg Borgon is my in-studio guest. He's founder and president of Heart of a Warrior Ministries. He has taught in graduate, postgraduate schools and ministries, has spoken and preached all over the world. He's the author of many award-winning books. He's been happily married for 50 years, and he loves his wife, and he's taken her to Ireland for a full month in July.
Yes.
You dog. Wipe that smile off your face, Ireland, for a month
days.
In the summer.
86 days.
Oh, my. So let's talk about the methods for studying the Bible.
Yeah, last time I was on your show, we talked about this step-by-step process of immersing yourself in the Word of God, because it's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. But most Christians spend their time hearing the Word or reading the Word, but don't go to the next level, which is to truly study the Word of God. That's where the transformation takes place. Now, when we talk about Bible study methods or approaches, there's several different ways to do it. It could be a verse analysis, where you study a single verse with reference to its immediate context, or you could do an analytical study, which is a careful examination of a chapter or a passage in the Bible. Or it could be what's called a synthetic study, where it's the broad overall study of a book of the Bible. or a topical study even, the tracing of a selected topic through the Bible or a portion of it, like I did for my first book, Rattling of Sabers. It was all about the heart and what the Bible meant by the heart. And then there's a biographical study, of course, where you explore the character of a Bible, characters in the Bible. But in regardless of the type of study that you embrace, there are just some very basic techniques that need to be applied in studying the Word of God. And as simple as this, it's observation, interpretation, and application. A show that's been off the air for a while was Crime Scene Investigators. And they could go to a crime site and just as an informed observer, pick up information and evidence that a casual observer couldn't because they were trained to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes to the Word of God, we need to be like crime scene investigators who are trained in our powers of observation to look at the evidence without interpreting it initially and without applying it initially. Because the temptation always is when you go to God's Word is to immediately apply what you're reading instead of really hearing or seeing what the Word of God has to say. So let's just take a look initially at observation.
Okay.
You're just being a detective in this case. And so what you're doing is you're actually trying to figure out what does the passage actually say. Not what you think it says or what you've been brought up to believe it says, but what does it actually say? So you're asking questions about who, what, when, where, why, how of the passage. You're discovering the form or the structure of the passage. You're looking at key words, for instance, in that passage. And all you're doing is jotting this evidence down. You've got a notepad next to you, a journal next to you, and you're just writing the evidence down. You're just logging the evidence in, if you will. You're considering comparisons and contrasts, for instance. You're considering how to, you know, in terms of an investigation, notes. What you're trying to do is you're noting the progression of an idea or a thought that may be in the passage. You're being alert to the proportions that may be there. You're looking for repetition and those kinds of things. But probably the easiest way to look at it, besides asking these questions, is look for things that have been emphasized. Look for things that have been repeated or related, things that are alike or unlike. Look for things that are true to life. You might even want to look at relationships, for instance, comparisons and contrasts, repetitions. In my devotions, I was going through the book of Ecclesiastes, and it's interesting that 27 instances the phrase under the sun is repeated. It's found nowhere else in the Bible. And what that actually means when you start to take a look at it is that if you live your life on the horizontal plane, devoid of any vertical relationship with your Heavenly Father, then life will end up being meaningless no matter what you turn your hand to. It might be meaningful for a second or a moment, but then it'll be meaningless. Another phrase is meaningless, which is in there 39 times. Another phrase is chasing after the wind, which is found 9 times. But that's what I mean by looking for repetitive phrases, because they're there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just want to jot that evidence down. So that's observation, training yourself to ask yourself the questions, what, where, when, why, and how, and looking for these different things that might crop up, repetitions or so forth. That's what we mean by observation. So once you've gathered the evidence, it's time to bring the evidence back to the lab.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're going to do is apply ground rules of interpretation, much like a CSI agent applies various procedures and strategies and processes following a certain regimen to determine the significance of the evidence. What takes a priority? What is more important and what is less important? And so the CSI agent starts to interpret the data. So that's what you are. You're now going to start in interpreting the Word of God. And I just want to share with you 7 basic rules of interpretation when you look at the Word of God. First of all, my suggestion is use a literal Bible. There are Bibles that are word for word. There are Bibles that are thought for thought. And then there are paraphrase. When I talk about word for word, I'm talking about ESV. I'm talking about a Revised Standard Version. I'm talking about the North American Standard Version. So get a Bible that's word-for-word translation is the best way to start. Read the verse or passage in context. In other words, if you're looking at a particular passage, read before it and read after it. For instance, when you go to the book of Revelation, you look up Revelation 3:20 that everyone uses right. as an evangelistic passage, it's not evangelistic in that context. It's talking about the Laodicean church where he's knocking at the door, and if they just listen to him, then their mediocrity will turn into vitality. And so that's why he's knocking on that door. But you wouldn't know that unless you read it in context.
Mm.
Look at cross-references.
You just disappointed a lot of people, I think.
Well, in a general sense, it could apply to that God is knocking at your door.
Of course, of course.
But the fact of the matter is, where it's found in that context, he's talking about the Laodicean church who was neither hot nor cold. And mm-hmm. matter of fact, he said he's going to spit them out of his mouth. But he's going to keep at them. He's not going to give up on them. And he's going to keep figuratively knocking at the door until they finally open it.
See, I have used that as an evangelistic tool. Is God mad at me?
No, he's not mad at you, Bill. You got to take a look at the context of your life, not just that one incident.
I'm always learning.
So interpretation, again, you're looking at, you're reviewing cross-references, but here are the basic rules of interpretation. Number one, interpret the Bible in light of its language, history, and culture. Your previous guest alluded to that in a couple of occasions. Allow Scripture to interpret Scripture. My advice is don't go to the commentary first. Don't go to somebody else's distillation and study of the passage first. See what God has to say to you by applying these rules of interpretation. See what you come up with first. Another rule of interpretation would be individual verses of the Bible must be understood in the context of the other verses in that passage, of course. Each passage of Scripture has one interpretation. It may have many applications, but it has one interpretation. Do not build major doctrines or positions on isolated or unclear verses in the Bible. And in most cases, like the rest of the Bible, parables, for instance, have one basic meaning. So, when it comes to interpreting the Word of God, there really are two guardrails along the highway for correct Bible interpretation, the Holy Spirit and the Christian community, which will help you to understand that passage. So at that point, you bring into the study potentially a concordance, an exhaustive concordance that lists all of the words in the Bible and where they're found and helps you to understand what that means. You could use a Bible dictionary. You could use a handbook or a Bible atlas. So there are plenty of resources mm-hmm. that you can use to help understand what is really meant by that passage. But again, as a crime scene investigator, you're applying these processes, these rules of interpretation, and I could give you many more. But the point is that you're applying them to get a proper understanding of what that passage actually means. So,
yeah.
The first question in observation is, what does it say? The second question in interpretation is, what does it mean?
That's deep.
Yeah.
I love it.
And only then, after you've done that hard work, are you ready to go to application. You've got to resist the temptation to apply it immediately or to come to the text with a preconceived notion of what it means, and all you're doing is trying to validate what you've already concluded. That's called and in the Greek word, eisegesis, or in other words, you're reading into the passage, where what we're called to do is another Greek word, exegesis, which means you're allowing the passage to read out of itself instead of you coming to it with a particular interpretation or understanding.
Mm-hmm. All right, Greg, I'm going to need to take a break. Dr. Greg Borgon is my guest in studio. We're learning a methodology for studying Scripture, which I think I know I love. So let's learn more about that. We'll take a short break and be back with more in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. I've got Dr. Greg Borgon in studio, president and founder of Heart of a Warrior Ministries. We're talking about how methods to study the Bible. Greg, we're off to a good start.
Yeah. So let me give you a little bit of a context. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for from it comes the wellspring of your life." Now, there's one interpretation to that. When you look at that passage, it's saying that you make a high priority, the highest priority, above all else, that's what that means, guard your heart, which means to be vigilant, never turning your back, always being alert and ready. And it says, guard your heart, for from it comes the wellspring of your life. And what that means is that whatever is in there worth it and is worth guarding will issue forth in behavior that it'll either bring glory and honor to God or dishonor and shame. So that's the interpretation. So how do you apply that? You apply that by saying, okay, what is in my heart? Is it corrupted beliefs or is it biblically informed beliefs? Are there God-honoring values or are there not God-honoring values? Because whatever that mix is going to result in behavior, again, that'll either bring glory and honor to God or dishonor and shame. So you could apply that context in a variety of ways. So let's look at the last stage of a Bible study method called application. In this passage, just like your previous guest said, how does this passage apply to us generally as followers of Christ, given the historical context and the interpretation of that particular passage? And then specifically, how does it apply to me? Mm-hmm. So there's really two questions in application. How does it apply to us generally? How does it apply to you specifically or me specifically? So the questions to ask when it comes to application, and this is where there are multiple pieces of application. Is there an example for me to follow? Is there a sin to avoid? Is there a promise to claim?
Okay, let's start over because I got to write these down.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Is there an example for me to follow?
Okay.
Is there a sin to avoid? Is there a promise to claim? Is there a prayer to repeat? Is there a command to obey? Is there a condition to meet? Is there a verse to memorize? Is there an error to observe or avoid? Is there a challenge to face?
Wow.
I mean, it isn't that you're going to find all of that in one passage.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, you know, there's nothing worse than asking questions nobody is answering.
Right.
Or answering questions nobody's asking. So you're going to the passage and say, Heavenly Father, as I look at your word this morning, I'm looking for something to help me understand better who you are and my relationship with you and how I need to live my life. And then you get specific to ask these questions. When you move to application, you're asking these questions. Another technique in application is specs, what's called specs. Sin to forsake is the S. Promise to claim is the P. The E is examples to follow. C is commands to obey. N is knowledge to acquire about God, Christ, or myself. S is stumbling blocks to avoid. Just simply applying, putting on your specs, in other words.
I like that.
And seeing how it applies. So in essence, what you're trying to do is determine, how is God speaking to me? Given the fact that this is what I observed in the passage, when I looked at the evidence, this is what the interpretation of that passage is. Now, how can I apply it? Let's give an example. Let's say, for instance, you looked at the text that says, God's all created us in the image of himself. And you took that from Genesis, for instance. Well, the interpretation of that is, what's that image? And so you find out how God has created us and what that image is comprised of, which is imparting of his character in our life. But how has that played out? So the application might be, I've got to quit stereotyping people, because we're all created in the image of God. That's one application.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be, you know what, I'm going to start looking at the good in every soul, no matter what I see initially. Or it could mean simply that, you know what, I'm going to give people the benefit of the doubt. So those are three different applications you could take from that one passage, because what you've come to recognize is that we all have value in the eyes of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that image may be covered over by the ashes of bad decisions and behaviors that have corrupted our very soul. And so consequently, it takes a fresh breath of the Spirit to blow away those ashes and allow that ember of God's image to well up once again into a flame.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a matter of allowing the Spirit of God to do his work and answering questions people are asking or questioning answers people are giving. But in any case, allowing the Spirit to go ahead and make that transformational change.
Solid.
So it's a lot of information, I realize, in a very short period of time.
No, but it's such great stuff. I'm going to definitely have to go and listen through this again, because again, every time you have on, I have you on, it's a lot of content, and it's very dense, which I love. I love, but I got a lot to chew on.
Yeah, and you know, my sense would be, Bill, if people take the Word of God seriously and they study it, it becomes a salve on your soul. It becomes water to wash you clean. It becomes God's scalpel to remove the disease in your life. It becomes God's hammer and chisel to shape you into the image of His Son. And so if we really do believe that the Word of God is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, then we need to take it seriously.
Very much so.
And we see in God's Word, it's the only offensive weapon that we have. Everything else in the armor of God is defensive, but here is our only offensive weapon. It's learning how to wield it, but with gentleness and with respect.
And Greg, when you just talk about doing the investigative work, when I was listening to you describe just taking notes, I go, this sounds like fun.
Oh, it is.
It'd be just verses like, oh, it would be difficult to read the Bible and try to understand it. But the way you talked about it, it's like, let's dig in.
Well, you
this
know,
is challenging.
I'm sitting in my chair even this morning, and I'm reading in Ecclesiastes, and I share with my wife, and I said, honey, do you understand the power of this passage right here? It says that we're to be very selective on what we say to somebody, even though anxiety weighs heavily on it. And the scripture says there's a proper time and procedure for everything. So it's knowing what that proper time and procedure is. So we started a dialogue between my wife and I, and it was exciting for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a truth I was aware of before, but it just comes alive. And I mean, when you go to the Word of God with intentionality, bathed in prayer, to hear what the Heavenly Father wants to say to you through the teaching of the Holy Spirit, do you think God's going to just be dormant and not say anything to you? If you come with expectation to learn from Him, He's going to teach you.
Yeah, fantastic. Dr. Greg Borgon has been my guest. You're going to want to go listen to this again. Go to myfaithradio.com if you want to hear the podcast or pass it on. I have hired the accounting firm of Rice Porterhouse, and they have, while I was on the air, they took all the names that came in and put their hand in the bowl and pulled out the winner. And I'm proud to say and happy to admit to say that the winner of the two tickets for tomorrow night is Kelly and Michael Thomas. I hope I said their name correctly. So congratulations. Thank you for all the folks that put their name in the hat. We only had one set of two tickets. I will send you, if you're listening, Kelly and Michael, a little bit more information about it. And that wraps up our time together. So, Greg, thank you so much for once again
great
coming in.
Great to be here again with you.
I look forward to our next time you're in studio. I learned so much, and I know the listeners love when you come in as well. So we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to wrap up our show here. We've got one more segment coming up, and I'm excited to get to that. So we'll take a short break and be back in just a minute. To the show, here's a great question. Is there hope for those who lose their way? And of course, our answer is yes, of course there's hope for those who have lost their way. My guest on our studio line is Rob Coles. He's the founding lead pastor of Genesis Project in Fort Collins, Colorado, and he has served in full-time pastoral ministry since 88. This is a very fascinating book. It's called The God of New Beginnings, How the Power of Relationship Brings Hope and Redeems Lives. Rob, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, now I want to talk about what you and Matt have put together and the Genesis Project and how this whole thing started and really what it is, because I love the way you guys think.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's been a great journey for us. I've been a pastor for, 31 years now, and I started as a youth pastor in Colorado Springs and really had no idea what I was doing. And for some reason, not any strategy on our part, but God just opened doors for us to begin to reach teenagers whose lives were really pretty wrecked. We had kids coming from gangs. I had the opportunity to be in a juvenile detention center weekly talking to kids. And I was part of a pretty conservative church, and it just kind of upset everything. It just became a mess. And Matt Roberts, my co-author on this book, his family moved from Georgia to Colorado Springs. And as a 14-year-old kid, he became a part of that youth ministry. So I was his youth pastor for a number of years. And then fast forward about 10 years ago, Matt just felt really called to plant a church in Ogden, Utah, that would be a church for people who just didn't do church, people who had given up on church, who had given up really on life, people whose lives were hopeless, had been racked by the decisions they've made or decisions other people made. And so he founded a church called Genesis Project, and the idea of new beginnings that's wrapped up in the word Genesis. And probably about 5 years ago, he invited me to come speak at his church. And I was so moved by my experience there. And one of the things that moved me most was the freedom with which really broken people shared their story. I mean, it was almost like I would meet people and they would just say, "Hi, my name's Rob. And yeah, I used to be a meth addict, but then I started coming here." And they would just begin to tell their story of life transformation. And you know, I've grown up in the church, and sadly, sometimes the church is the last place where people feel safe to talk about their brokenness. Mm-hmm. And so this was just this incredibly refreshing experience of people who are very open and honest about their life and the journey they were on. And then the other thing that impacted me so greatly was the worship. And it wasn't because it was, I mean, they were great, but it wasn't because it was this cutting edge, incredible band. It was just the authenticity with which the congregation worshiped. And you knew you were in a room filled with people who had truly been brought from the depth of darkness into light, and they couldn't not worship. There was just this authenticity about the gratitude they felt for what Jesus had done for them. And so I came back from that experience, and for about 2 months, every time I would talk about visiting that church, I would begin to cry. And I finally reached a point where I told my wife that I needed to be part of something that I couldn't talk about without crying. And I was on staff at a great church, a very large church, mega church, and I was the executive pastor. And I loved what I was doing. It's a great, great place. But what I felt when I went to that Genesis Project in Ogden, it brought me back to what made me say yes 31 years ago, working with those teenagers whose lives were so broken. And so our story in Fort Collins, a very interesting story. We had one strip club in the city that was owned by three brothers. And one of the brothers who was running the club ended up coming to faith in Jesus and just radically changed his life. And all of a sudden, he was experiencing the tension of going to a men's Bible study in the morning and then opening a strip club in the afternoon. And so he became determined to just get out of that business himself. They tried to sell the club. There's a long journey of him just trying to get out of the business. He was eventually able to transfer management of the business to a brother. And so he just kind of kept the books. But then God began to deal with his heart about maybe redeeming the place for something good. And he approached a few churches in town who were all very happy for the transformation in his life, but couldn't envision buying a strip club. He talked to my pastor, my boss, and said, "Will you just please come look at the building?" And so he and I came over to the strip club. It was still a strip club. It was before they had opened. And we just walked through the building, and something just kind of wrecked my heart in a really great way. We walked into the locker room where the dancers would change, and a number of those lockers had pictures of kids on them. And all of a sudden you began to get this picture of some women who were doing everything they could and all they knew how to do to just keep food on the table for their kids. And when we walked out of the building, I told my boss that we have to do this, and I want to put my name in the hat to lead it. And that began this journey of stepping out in faith. I resigned my position at this church, and we just took the leap. And I knew when we were going to plant a church, I knew I wanted it to be a Genesis Project, what I had experienced in Ogden.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so we met for a year in a coffee shop. We had some amazing donors with the Real Kingdom Vision who stepped up to purchase the building and contribute towards the remodel of the building. And so we met for a year in a coffee shop with kind of a launch team. And almost 4 years ago, we launched Genesis Project in Fort Collins. And it has been a wild ride ever since.
Mm-hmm. Rob, the story is fascinating, not to mention that you have set a record for the number of times a guest has said strip club on Faith Radio.
That's a great distinction.
Yeah, it is. It is. You're one of a kind. But let's just talk about the fact that churches are, you planted one in a dark place. And it is significant because I would imagine a lot of people were gossiping when Jesus was going to places where they thought, what is he doing with those people?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And part of our vision from the very beginning, you know, when the club closed down, the guy who was running it just closed it overnight. And so there were a lot of people who were instantly out of work, and the paper ran stories on it, and obviously some pretty angry people, which was crushing to me because those were the very people we hoped to reach with the good news of Jesus and hope that life could be different. And one of the things that was said was the last thing Fort Collins needs is another church. And I really grappled with that and began to say, okay, is that true? Is this the last? There are plenty of churches in Fort Collins, and really from the very beginning, the vision that we had was to be a church that would go to the darkest places in our community, and love people that no one else wanted to love, and serve in the hard places, and just show up and be a presence. Build relationships with people who were very different from us, people who no longer could hide their brokenness because their life had been so ravaged. And so that's kind of what we did. We just began to build relationships with really broken, hurting people. And to this day, that really is the heart of what we do. We have weekend services, and we do our best with those, but really, it's not about a weekend service for an hour and 15 minutes looking at the back of someone's head for us. For mm-hmm. us, it is embedding our lives into brokenness and journeying with people. We often say we want to be there when you get your sobriety chip, and we'll be there to hold your hair in relapse. And it's just the hard work of investing in the lives of people. And I do feel like that's exactly what Jesus modeled for us. In a way, he created a sense of belonging with people who weren't supposed to belong. And he did it before they believed anything. You know, I think of Zacchaeus when he sees this chief tax collector up in a tree, he invites himself over to his house before Zacchaeus believed anything. And we've tried to kind of live that model. We create a sense of belonging and relationship with people before they ever believe anything. And it's just amazing what the power of love can do when we love the least of these. Jesus just is in the middle of that in a way that I've never experienced before. And it's amazing what people come to believe when they know they're loved and embraced.
Mm-hmm. Rob, getting involved in people's lives that are broken is complicated. It's just easier to write a check, but real gospel transformation, I think, results from people coming alongside hurting, broken people and saying, I want to be with you, because they don't know what to do with that. They might be able to receive a handout, but you want to be with me? Is usually the response you get. And that's transformative.
It is. That's what we've learned, what we've discovered. One of the coolest things I think that's happened over these 4 years is our property butts up to a trailer park that's kind of hidden in our community. And it's a high need community, frequent calls to law enforcement, a lot of drugs that go in and out of that trailer park. And we had a trailer donated to us. And so we moved it into that trailer park with the idea that we could maybe create like a community center or something, and quickly find out that zoning laws wouldn't allow that. So we decided, what if we had a couple of interns that would move in there and they would serve at our church and just build relationships with our neighbors? And two women who had just graduated from Colorado State, bright upper middle class families, white gals. This trailer park is probably 80% Latino. They felt called by God to move in there. And that was almost 3 years ago. They interned with us for about a year and then stopped interning, but continued to live there. And we've just told them, we'll pay for the lot rent and the utilities. You just keep living there and loving people. And it is amazing that's the difference between making an excursion into brokenness and actually embedding your life into brokenness. And they have modeled for us what I think the most life transforming ministry is, when you actually, you know, that's what Jesus did. I love Eugene Peterson's translation of John chapter 1:14, where he says that God became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And when we literally move into the neighborhood of brokenness and journey with them, it is way more complicated. It's way more messy. Things often get more gray than black and white, and you constantly wrestle with this tension of, am I helping here, or is my helping actually hurting them? There's a constant tension there. But I think it's the most life-transforming way to do ministry is the hard work of real, steadfast relationships.
Mm-hmm. Rob, let me take a break. When I come back, I want to ask you about how you can help reset lives and habits, because once you start doing that, you can get people on a whole different path. Rob Coles is my guest. He's written a book with Matt Roberts called The God of New Beginnings, How the Power of Relationship Brings Hope and Redeems Life. We'll take a short break and be back with Rob in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. I have on our studio line Rob Coles. He's the founding lead pastor of Genesis Project in Fort Collins, Colorado. And he has written a book with Matt Roberts called The God of New Beginnings, How the Power of Relationship Brings Hope and Redeems Lives. And as you are talking about this, these two young women that moved into this trailer park, you have got such a spot-on idea, because I've always believed that if you have a group of people who are struggling with a certain problem, if you inject into the problem new habits, new lives, new people that aren't suffering in that same way, that others can learn from their behavior and they can set examples in remarkable ways.
Absolutely. 100%. And you know, we keep coming back to relationships, but it's in the context of real, authentic relationships that you can begin to have real conversations and even hard conversations. You know, Scripture says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in other words, the natural benefit of choosing to live in a way that goes against how God created us as human beings to live always leads to death. Death of hope, death of relationships, death of purpose, of freedom. And one of the things we discovered when you really go after the most broken people in your community in the darkest places, you don't have to really convince people that the wages of sin is death, because mm-hmm. they're living it. They've experienced it.
Yeah.
And when you embrace people in authentic relationships, you know, one of the things that we've learned that helps people kind of reset their lives is it, I think it begins by just learning to authentically listen to people. One of our mottos all the time is say less and listen more.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you sit down with the person and you listen to their story, the good, the bad, and the ugly, judgmentalism quickly can move to compassion. You know, I remember meeting after the strip club closed. I had coffee with one of the ladies who danced here about a month after. And she had written a book kind of about her life, and her life was pretty devastating. She was being abused starting at the age of 4 up into like 12 years old, and had just lived a really tough life. And I read that book before that meeting. When I sat down with her, I just listened for an hour and a half. And at the end of it, I probably would say I would have gone into that encounter with a lot of preconceived ideas about the kind of person who takes their clothes off for a living in front of men. I came out of that with actually respecting the courage that she had to share her story, the determination that she had to make ends meet and to cope with what had happened in her life. And to this day, she is a great friend of my wife and mine. We talk to her all the time. But I think when you respect a person's story and you cultivate that relationship, then you really can have hard conversations and talk to people about the way that you're living. I love E. Stanley Jones, who's a missionary to India. He passed away, I think, in 1976. But he talks about that there's the way and then there's not the way. And he said, you're free to choose, but we're not free to choose the results of our choosing. And I think that's such a great statement. It is true. We can choose to live contrary to what God intends, but we're not free to choose the results that come from that. And I think when we can have those kinds of relationships and talk about the way that they're choosing, and then begin to help them envision that life actually can be different, that God is able to bring about a new beginning in a person's life, truly a new beginning, not just deal with the symptoms, not behavior modification, but actually a transformation on the inside at the core of who you are. And then that's when that journey really intensifies, because you have people who that's all they've known their whole life. And for many of them, it's generations of addiction, generations of poverty, generations of abuse. And so it literally is walking with people and helping them envision the life that God has for them. And that's a long, hard journey. And they also, many of them are racked with the consequences of the life that they've lived. And so, you know, Fort Collins is a very expensive place to live. And, you know, a lot of folks have felonies on their record. So even if they could afford rent, they are overlooked for a place to live because there's a felony. They can't get work. And so we often are in a journey with people who respond to the gospel, give their life to Jesus, and then find out very quickly, man, in some ways life was easier before, and have this temptation to go back to the way they used to live because everything's against in our culture. And mm-hmm. So that's the long, hard journey of discipleship in the lives of people.
Yeah, I really like your motto, and I get that from my listeners. They say that to me all the time, say less, listen more. So that's good. Yeah. So if we're talking about, you know, how difficult and complicated and messy life can be, what happens, Rob, when you meet people who really are not willing to make better lifestyle choices? How do you respond to that?
Yeah.
That drives people crazy.
It does. And it's always heartbreaking and frustrating at the same time, because we encounter that a lot, and we're learning. And I would say it's a tension that we manage more than a problem that we've solved. And I think it's we continue to show up and we continue to love people, but we've recognized, and sometimes the hard way, that our helping can actually hurt people. And sometimes our love for them, the most loving thing we can do, is allow the results of the path that they're choosing to really bring them to a point of brokenness in their life. And it's painful. it's hard to walk through that. We continue to show up, whether they're changing or not, but we've really learned that you have to back up to the point where you're not enabling them to just continue a path of destruction. And sometimes they hang in there, and sometimes they check out, and then maybe a year later they show back up when things have finally gotten so bad that there's a willingness to change. You know, I think people change primarily for two reasons. One, they either have this compelling vision of what could be, or because where they are is so painful, they finally have to change. And sometimes that's what we see, is people reach a point of such desperate pain that they're finally willing to make those changes. And one of the things we talk about a lot is, we say this often, we say God loves you right where you are, but he loves you too much to leave you there. And because we're all broken people, we should never be surprised when his truth confronts our lives. And so we talk a lot about creating this culture where we love you no matter what, whatever you've done, whatever you're doing, whatever is happening in your life. But God loves you too much to leave you on that path. And he has a life that's better for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just heartbreaking when people aren't at that point, and you just have to watch them continue to live in destructive ways.
Yeah, Rob, we just got less than a couple minutes left. And when broken people and disenfranchised people come and they find home at the Genesis Project, what can you advise the more mainstream typical churches to do? Do they need to revitalize a little bit to get to the point where they know how to better deal with some of the disenfranchised?
Yeah, you know, I think so, and I think it begins with us realizing. I heard Tim Keller say one time that the problem with most Christians in America is we're not poor in spirit, we're middle class in spirit, and we think that we brought something to the table in God rescuing us. And I think when we come to realize that it took the same sacrifice, the same grace to rescue my life as it did the drug addict on the street in my community, that we all are in the same place. We're all broken. There's no us in them. There's only us, broken people in need of someone to rescue us. I think it begins there. And then the second thing I think is what we said earlier, just take the time to sit down and listen to a person's story without judgment, without trying to speak advice into their lives. Just listen to their story. And when we listen to the story, we understand more. There's compassion in us. And that's where relationship begins. And at some point, you share your story. Mm. And your story also includes when Jesus intersected your story.
Yeah. Rob, really fascinating. I appreciate your work and your heart and what God has entrusted you to do. Rob Coles has been my guest. His book, The God of New Beginnings, How the Power of Relationship Brings Hope and Redeems Lives. We will take a short break and be back with more in just a minute.
Faith Radio is a media outreach of University of Northwestern St. Paul. Our mission is to lead people to Christ and to nurture believers in their faith through Christ-centered media. We do that by providing relevant Bible preaching and family-focused teaching, along with interactive talk programming that helps you in your daily life and points us all back to Jesus. You can also find helpful articles and podcast links for many topics on our website, myfaithradio.com.
Thank you so much. What a great hour. If you missed any of the show today, I highly encourage you to go back and check out the old podcast that's at myfaithradio.com. Go to Afternoons with Bill Arnold's show page, and you'll find all the goodies there. Remember, when you lay your head on the pillow and you take all your cares to the Lord, just trust him for whatever you have going on in that head of yours and your heart. Remember, God is writing his story in your life. He's in charge. So trust him. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting Faith Radio. Thanks for listening to my show. I look forward to this every day because I love you and I want you to grow in your faith as I try to grow in mine. We can do this together. Have a great night, everyone. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.